This is Metal Mike. Ryan's back with me, and we're doing 15 more of our favorite hair metal ballads. This time, it's the mid-tempos and the leftovers. Check it out. Well, Ryan, welcome to the 80s Glam Metalcast, my friend. How are you?
I'm great, dude. Thank you so much for having me back.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, just a couple announcements before we get going. Got some sad news, man. We lost a friend of the podcast, Mr. A. Fish. He was on a couple different episodes with us, man. He lost his battle with cancer on September 10th. He was on three different episodes with me. He did the A. Fish, of course, Motley Crue 94 Spectacular. He was on the bands that should have been bigger, and he was on the albums that let us down. So if you remember those episodes, if you ever want to check back and hear some of A. Fish's words of wisdom, you know, check those out. But RIP to our brother, A. Fish.
Absolutely. And in his honor, I will listen thoroughly to Motley 94 and give it my best.
You can substitute Badlands debut. He that was another one of his favorites.
Oh, that's right. Perfect. I'll get into beyond just Dreams in the Dark.
Yes. So some sad news. Wanted to make another comment of some good news, and I just wanted to make it official and just put it out there. And sometimes when you put something out there, then you have to be committed to it. So just going to throw it out there that I have been working on writing a book, and I only have one chapter left, and the book is called A Hair Metal Journey, and it is going through, it goes through like my trajectory of listening to this music and how I got into it and all the bands that I liked. And then all along the way, I'm sprinkling in all the interview clips, and I've transcribed different parts of interview, you know, clips that I've done that have never been out there on the websites before. So a lot of cool stuff. It's actually really fun to go back and listen to some of the old episodes, and you forget how cool and kind of maybe some of the people weren't so cool, but for the most part, most of them were cool. And it was a good ride interviewing all those people. And it's not done. I know I'll be doing some more interviews in the future. But so just want to put that out officially. I'm hoping to be done. I'd like to get the book done this month, written, and then, you know, of course, you got to do the editing and all the proofreading and all this stuff. So definitely out before the holidays, I'm hoping. But like I said, if I say it and put it out there in the universe, you know, I got to be more committed to it. So
that's awesome. I can't wait to read it.
Awesome. Well, hey, the last time you and I spoke, we did our top 15 hair metal ballads, and we had a lot of leftovers. Like, I know I had like 15 or more that didn't make the list, but I thought were really good, and I know you had the same. So I thought we needed to do another one, and maybe this one would be more like the hair metal ballads, the leftovers, the mid tempos, all the stuff that didn't make it, man. But it's kind of hard to believe that there's that many ballads that we really like. It's pretty cool.
Oh, totally, dude. And I tried not to be biased regarding my go-to bands this time, but like some of them I couldn't help, but some of them are not what people would expect of me. But I have countless honorable mentions, of course, but I won't get into that. But I only have three repeats from list one onto this list, but I couldn't help it. You know, I had to honor the best power ballad writers out there. But what a fun topic, and it's such a cool, vast catalog or topic to choose from. So really excited for list number two and hear what you have and hear what I have. And yeah, it's really fun topic.
All right, man. Well, with no more hesitation, hit me with your 15.
Okay. Well, I'm going to kick it off with a humongous song. And this one really catapulted this band into true arena headliner status and major crossover hit. And it is Silent Lucidity by Queensryche from 1990.
Excellent.
And so that's just another one I can never turn off when it comes on either a video or on the radio. And it's so cool. It's such a really cool music video, very mystical, really cool use of the cinematography and technology at the time. And I will say this, there's one complaint, and it's actually kind of a compliment, and it's at the 5:09 mark, where the part that says "we'll protect you in the night" and he really lets it rip on the word "night," the second half of that the "I" part, and it's really well showcased live, but on the record, it's hidden behind some backing vocals. And I know you probably know what I'm talking about.
I know,
about.
Like, nah, they're all behind them. Yeah.
Totally, and it's really the only point in the song where you hear the Jeff Tate killerness, Let It Rip, and it's a bummer because it's a great part, but maybe, you know, they didn't want to really let it rip on this song on the record, but live he really lets it go, and it's really cool. But the unplugged version back then is just totally ruled, and I love this era of Queensryche. This is my favorite album by them, and then everything went to shit after that. But anyway,
yeah, pretty much.
I love this song. I love this album.
You know, I didn't think about this song as a power ballad, you know, but it really is. And, you know, I'm kind of bumming because I love Queensryche, and I'm glad that you picked it. You know, the cool thing about Queensryche is, you know, and there's a few bands that were like this, but Queensryche's rise was like the opposite of a lot of other bands. You know what I mean? Like, they weren't huge right when they came out, but when you hit this song and this album, obviously they were very big. But, you know, a lot of bands came out of the gate and were big, you know, in the 80s, and then it was pretty much all downhill. But a nice climb by Queensryche. And right, it's not your typical I love you ballad. It's about dreams and reality, you know, deciphering dreams from reality and all this kind of stuff. But really cool and awesome. Glad you picked it.
Yeah, I mean, we got a little freedom in this list, like you said, some mid-tempos, you know what I mean? Like some of that stuff. So
that's
how this list is compiled. I wanted to kind of really, really breach the boundaries on this one.
Yeah, I got some oddballs, but this one,
good.
This one probably isn't a real oddball. It's 15. I got Freely's Comet, It's Over Now, and, you know, I'm always preaching the Second Sighting album. You know, it's got great production. Todd Howarth is just super talented. It's very catchy, great harmonies. A lot of fans thought, you know, this was a little soft for Ace, and a lot of fans didn't like the point that Todd Howarth had a lot of songs on this album, but go back and listen to it, man. It's really cool. You know, it's got the nice piano in there. And also, there's times where he, like, actually, as the chorus ends, he does that little John Lennon thing, you know, over now, you know, like, like you and some John Lennon. So, I don't know. Very cool song. I like it. It was a single. Didn't do much, but it's a good one.
I actually totally forgot, and I honestly would have put this on my list. That this happens to be my favorite song on that album. It's different that I would have a power ballad as my choice, but I love this album, and that song has always been a standout, and I'm really stoked you put it on there because I totally forgot about it.
Yeah, and you know what I want to mention too, and there's a lot of songs on my list that do this. I want to say there's a point in the verses where there's like that chug behind it, kind of, even though it's a mellow.
Yep.
I got a bunch of them that do that, and I noticed that there's a lot of songs out there where there would be two guitars and they're almost panned. One guitar's chugging, one guitar's playing like the clear stuff on the other side. So there's a lot of songs that do that on my list tonight, and that does kind of work because it's like, it kind of like, even though it's a poppy thing, that's that little metal edge to it. So, yeah.
Yep, and it generally comes in verse two when they really want to kind of get going.
Yes, it does. I think it does. You're right.
All
right.
Perfect.
All right, 14.
Okay, going back to my boys in Hardline here. I got Hands of Time from 1992, and this closes out the album. You got the dual guitar work, really moody acoustic, and there's an intro just before that that's actually listed. It's a separate song called 3191, but it sets this song up perfectly. As big as this album is for me, it's my number one in 92. It's one of probably my top five albums of all time. I really do not care for the other two ballads on this album that happen to have been the actual hits and singles, but this ballad is kind of the underdog, and I really like it. It's very moody. It soars. It shows off way more of the ability of the band, in my opinion, and it was a really cool, great way to close an album, and I have a feeling without knowing certain that 3191 was probably a dedication to someone's lifespan. So it's probably got some heart to it. Anyway, so I really enjoy this ballad closing out the album. And like I said, really showcases the talent.
Nice. You know, I don't know if I'm familiar with this song per se, but I know I went back because so many past episodes, it's like Hardline, Hardline, Hardline. So I
yes.
So I went back and I listened to the Hardline album, and it was really good. So I maybe I did hear this, but I can't specifically say, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. So.
Oh, well, you know, it's going to be overshadowed by Taking Me Down and Rhythm from a Red Car and all that good stuff, so I totally understand.
Okay, night number 14. Great band, great hair band. Didn't do a ton of ballads, and it's Hurricane, It's Only Heaven, off of Take
okay,
What You Want.
Yeah.
And, you know, go back and listen to this one. For a hair metal tune, it's kind of trippy. It's kind of spacey. Like, there's a lot of weird keyboards, and it's kind of moody. And then he comes in with his on the verses, and he's really, like, singing, like, a high, soulful kind of singing like he does. And it's just really good song. Like I said, I don't think it ever could have been a hit because it's just kind of got a weird, almost like a dark vibe to it. I don't know. It's just weird. It's a weird song, but it's really good. It's really catchy and it's really good, but there is like a bit of weirdness. Do you know what I'm saying? You know the song, right? There's a little bit of oddness to the song. Like it's not your typical ballad. Like there's feels like there's some kind of underlying drama in there with the keys and everything. So yeah, cool song, great tune, but it's just kind of an oddball one.
Well, Take What You Want was kind of like that, really.
Yeah.
All in all, and almost the same with Over the Edge. Like there's some really off the wall, like they didn't become like a straightforward hard rock band until Slave to the Thrill, in my opinion. They were a little bit like Lillian, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were out there, they were ahead of their time, they did a little bit more than just the straight ahead rock stuff. So I can understand where you're coming from on the description of this one for sure.
And it's weird to say that because, not to keep harping back on the book thing, but like I said, since I've been going back and listening to a lot of the old interviews, I listened to the one with Robert Sarzo because I'm like, I really want to include something about Hurricane. And I forgot. I asked him, I go, what'd you think of Slave to the Thrill? He's like, you know, I don't remember a lot about it because it just became a different band. So it's funny when you said that. As soon as you said it, I was like, that's what he said. And he's right. You're right. And you're both right because, you know, I think they're a lot more straightforward with Slave to the Thrill. Then did I call it Slave to the Grind?
No, you didn't.
Okay.
You got it. You nailed it.
Well, okay. All right. No worries. Okay. Wait, it's weird. He said that same thing. He said that it became a different band. So that really stood out when you just said it. So.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Interesting. I remember that interview.
Okay. 13.
Okay, Whitesnake, The Deeper the Love from 89.
Nice. Nice.
So I gotta choose my boys in the Snake, man. I think they were really peaking in 89. I love Is This Love, but I dig this ballad more. I know the album beforehand, I get it. But I'm a weirdo, you know, I like an underdog and I really like Slip of the Tongue. Equally to the 87 album, even though that album was like perfection in my mind.
Yeah.
I know we share the love of Slip of the Tongue. So,
yeah.
But like I said, I like the underdogs. But Coverdale's just deep, moody vocals and that really cool synth touch they have on the second verse just fits so perfect. And the pre-chorus, I mean, the I don't mind, that part, that's so killer. That's like an 11 out of 10 as he just goes off. And it's just a perfect album. And might I just add a number 13.1? I'm going to throw a little love out to the first 1 minute of Love Ain't No Stranger.
Mm.
Because that's a perfect ballad.
Yeah.
Just that first minute.
Yeah. No, I'm so glad that you mentioned Slip of the Tongue and Deeper the Love. And, you know, it's funny because it seems like I want to say there was like some banter on Twitter a few weeks back about the Steve Vai stuff and that Steve Vai wasn't bluesy enough. He's playing some bluesy licks underneath the like bluesy like chords and stuff. Like there's like a bluesy vibe underneath what Dave's singing. So like I feel like he is kind of bluesy, at least in his own right. I mean, but Steve Vai is a more weirder player. But I love what I love what he does on that album, and that's a great one. And, you know, just I was going to throw this in when I did Whitesnake, but I'll just throw it in now. Somehow I'm a CD guy. I still got CDs in the car. And sometimes I'll just, anytime I'm in the car, I'll just listen into this one CD, even if it's just a couple minute drive here and there. And I've been listening to the Coverdale Page album, you know. And
oh, yeah.
I got to take a look at yourself off that album. Mm-hmm. And that's so good. And it kind of reminds me of The Deeper the Love, like the verses especially. They seem kind of similar in the verse area. And to me, you know, a lot of it sounds like, let's face it, I love it, but it's like, it's not Whitesnake Wannabe. It's mostly Led Zeppelin Wannabe, right? So
exactly.
Most songs, like, they're just putting David Coverdale on, like, Led Zeppelin songs. But take a look, and The Boys Are Feeling Hot Tonight. Like, those kind of feel like they could have been on the next Whitesnake album. So I feel like, totally, as you get deeper into the Coverdale Page album, those feel like some of those could be Whitesnake songs. But it starts off, it all feels like it could be Led Zeppelin. So just a random thought. But Take a Look at Yourself definitely reminds me of Deeper the Love. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'll take a look at that one again. Yeah, it's been a while.
All right, I got an oddball one, man. I never talked about these guys on the podcast, and I always feel, and I'm kind of proud of myself that I got something different, because I always feel like I'm always got the same go-tos. Oh, you know, friggin' Loudness and Viscera and Yngwie, and, like a Kiss, Broken Record. So, 13.
Finally living in the stars, Hollywood.
Hurricane Alice, 1990, Dream Girl. And
nice, dude.
This is a really cool one, man. It's almost kind of it's kind of soulful. I wrote this down. I did actually do some notes for this one, but he's also singing kind of soulful, kind of the way Kelly Hansen does in It's Only Heaven. And, you know, Bruce Newman, I think is the way you say his name. He's got like the David Lee Roth, Mark Torian, you know, thing going on. But he's definitely bluesy and soulful, and then he gets crazy. He gets so high on this song, like he's screaming wicked high right before the solo, and it all works, you know. But go listen to Dream Girl. It's just a cool song. It's got a cool vibe, and wasn't a single. I think they only got one single. This was kind of getting to the end, you know. It was like 1990, 1991. They weren't doing the 3-4 video thing anymore. So,
dude, I love this album. I know this song note for note. Great choice. This and actually Hurricane, I found at the flea market here in Santa Cruz, and my Hurricane disc was signed, and the Hurricane Alice disc was right next to it, not signed. But I actually didn't really care for this album when I first got it, mm-hmm. and then I really got into Bad to Love, and then I said, "What am I thinking? This album is killer!"
Yeah,
and I memorized the whole thing, and Dream Girl, I didn't put on my list, but I put it as an honorable, but excellent choice.
Yeah, good. Glad you like it, man. All right.
Love it.
12.
Let's see. Oh, I'm sorry. You said 12?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, you go backwards. That's what's next after 13.
Well, yeah, you're right. Oh, man. Oh, all this Hurricane Ella stuff I forgot. Okay, here we go. I, too, have a random one. I got a band called Melidian. Have you heard of them?
No.
Oh, dude.
You got me.
It's harder than Signal. You might like this one.
Okay. Yeah, Signal was too soft. I don't have anybody else.
I know, I'm sorry.
You know, it's one of those things, man. It's like if you're in the mood for the soft stuff, right, and you get it, then okay, you like it. But then, like, for some reason, I was just in the mood for some harder stuff, so I tried Signal, and then I think I told you, I messaged you, I was like, no, I got to listen to, like, 90s hair metal, like Revenge and
yes.
Face the Heat, you know, whatever, Dog Eat Dog, when everybody was getting a little heavier. So
there you go. I get that. But this band, Melidian, okay, the song is called Broken Toys. The album's from 89. Hmm. Absolute gem. This is the sole ballad on the album. A really cool use of percussion and acoustic. Really odd kind of instrumentation at the beginning. Very different. It's not sappy at all. It just happens to be in ballad form. Really cool guitar solos, and the album is called Lost in the Wild.
Hmm.
And I absolutely think this album rules. If you've never heard it, it's kind of like, I lump it into, like, I had thrown in Frontline before in a previous episode.
Yes, I remember that.
I don't know where Melidian is from. I don't know if they're an American band or not, but it is on Spotify. It's re-released on CD out there. Highly suggest it. Real gritty vocals, hard rock album, really cool. Great drums, great percussion. So one to look into for sure.
Nice. All right, man. That's good. I'll have to check that one out. My number 12. LA Guns. It's over now. I think this is a great song off of Hollywood Vampires. It's weird because I went back and looked at some stuff with Phil Lewis when I talked to him, and he didn't like this song back in the day. He said he sang it once, and that was it. Like he didn't like it, and I think they had to play it live because it was a minor hit for him. I think if you go back and you watch YouTube, they did it like at MTV Spring Break. For somehow they were able to hang on, but when you go back and listen to that song, It almost sounds like musically like Hootie and the Blowfish or something. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
Even though that was before. So I feel like they were kind of ahead of their time with this track. This track is very contemporary. It doesn't sound like the typical hair metal ballad. You know, it's just more of a, it's just got like a chill vibe. You know what I mean? It's just kind of laid back and kind of bluesy and stuff. And it's a Jim Vallance, right? I think he wrote most of it. It's like it's him and LA Guns. So maybe they just did little parts, but it sounds like he did the majority of the writing. But, yeah, I think it's a great song, and I just remember back in the day thinking it was weird because I thought when Hollywood Vampires was released, I figured LA Guns were like dead on arrival. It was 1991.
Right.
I remember Kiss My Love Goodbye didn't do anything, and I don't even know what the next video was, if they did some Live for Love. I don't remember what they did, but nothing was hitting. And then I think it was almost 92 when It's Over Now comes out, and I was like, oh, these guys are shot. They're toast. They got no shot. And MTV actually played it, and they had a minor hit, and I was really surprised that LA Guns, you know, being called LA Guns in the grunge era, like, how do you make it? You know what I mean? But they did, and they played the Spring Break of 92, I think it was, and the crowd was going nuts for them, even though I think Tracy Guns is wearing a flannel, but we'll give him the pass. He was 92.
Yeah, dude, two things. When you first said LA Guns, I thought I would have bet $1,000 you would have said Ballad of Jane.
I like
that. Why my reaction was as such when you said It's Over Now. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Never mind. And then in a different episode, you and someone, I can't remember what episode it was, discussed this very topic, and that was that LA Guns actually had a hit in that era, and they were invited to Spring Break, and they were a little bit like gothier. Maybe it was you and me that talked about it. I can't remember now.
I do
remember you talking about this album and thinking that it was a sneaky little surprise hit, and that was well deserved because it's a cool album and a really cool song.
Yeah, definitely. All right, bro, what do you got for 11?
Okay, so this is the first of my three repeats on this list, but I got Winger Under One Condition from 1990.
Oh, okay.
So I got that great subtle use of keys and that simple but great, the very typical mystical Winger vibe they have here. But this is such a sneaky, intricate album, just a gem, genius album. And it's just it's a coin flip on the first two albums in terms of what ballad I was going to incorporate, but they're just all packed with gold. You can't go wrong with any of the Winger ballads or mid tempos on any of these, the first two and kind of even three albums. So, but I've always really been partial to Under One Condition. So I had to throw it out there to number 11.
So when you said repeats, you're just talking about repeat bands, but not repeat songs, right?
Oh, yeah. Repeat bands.
Okay, so I got repeat bands, too. Okay, so we're all good. So, no, Under One Condition's great. You know, Winger doesn't ever go wrong on the ballads. I've never heard a bad Winger ballad, so, no, you got it.
Exactly.
All right. So, this one is a mid-tempo one.
Okay.
So, my number 11 is MSG. Anytime, what a song.
Nice, dude.
What a tune, man. And, you know, that's another one of those ones where you go through the verses and you got the slow chug. I think you're right. Maybe they do the slow chug when it hits the second verse. I can't remember if it's in the first or the second. And his voice is just so good on this song. And he actually kind of almost starts the song off a cappella, really. You know, he's just got like those those hits, you know, that he just a couple hits behind him when he's singing. And it's so good. And I just love this song. I think most people have come to appreciate this song over the years. Great chorus, great melodies. Yeah, MSG, man, anytime.
Oh, dude, I love this band so much. The 91 album is just perfection to me. I do like Save Yourself a lot.
Yeah.
And I do like this song a lot. So, dude, very cool that you incorporated these guys. I love it.
Yeah. All right, number 10. Living without you, don't
bother me. Number 10, I got Shotgun Messiah, Living Without You from 1991.
Nice.
Yeah, dude. Second Coming, what a cool album. The album is great. It's got Red Hot, Heartbreak Boulevard, I Want More. But this song, it's not what I expected. It's a lot like that Every Mother's Nightmare choice I had on the last list. It's kind of random that they'd have such a sweet ballad on there. But Tim Skold isn't exactly a singer's singer, but this entire album is him. It's like Bye Bye Zinni, which I don't mind on this album, but I really do like Zinni's voice a lot on the first album, but
yep.
It works for me really well on this album because it's just more of a like, without calling it grunge, a grungier hard rock album. So this is a really cool mid-tempo ballad, and the part that they really let it rip with when they say, if there's a tear in my eye, that's a really sweet part of the song. Mm. So check that one out.
You know, and I've said this a million times, I've never got into this album. I really liked the debut, and then between Zinni being gone and just no promotion for this, and I was kind of starting to get into some heavier stuff at that point, and I just never got into it. You know, and then I tried to go back, and it just doesn't register. I don't know why. You know, I'm not going to give up on it because a lot of people love it. So I'm gonna keep trying with Second Coming, but yeah, I've just never connected with it. So
crazy because it is harder, you know. It's like kind of the recipe that maybe I would assume you would be looking for at that point because they, I mean, Heartbreak Boulevard is hard, but it's a hit.
I do like that song.
Yeah, but there's a lot like that on this album, so maybe give it another shot.
I give it another shot. All right, I got a weird one. It's number 10. It's not from really, really back in the day. It's done more in recent times. I've talked about it before. I love it. It's a mid-tempo. Vince Neil, Another Bad Day, off of Tattoos and Tequila, I think that's what it's called. Yeah. And I love this song, man. It's written by Nikki Sixx. You know, for at least for that moment, I think this was in 2010, could be wrong. It's got that great, it's just like a poppy modern vibe, you know, going on. Like it's, you know, it feels kind of like the old days, but it's updated enough to pass for 2010. And I think Vince sounds great on it. I wish Motley Crue either would have done some more music like this, you know, in the reunion era time, or Vince just did a whole album of this kind of music because it just, his voice fits perfect. It's so catchy. It's just kind of moody, and you know, it's like mid-tempo moody tune, and big fan. Love it.
That's awesome. I'm stoked you threw in a more modern ballad because I remember we did discuss this album, and I went back and listened to that, and it's really cool, and I was thinking the same thing. It would have been awesome to incorporate on a Motley album. So
yeah,
really cool choice by you.
Huh? I'm trying, man. I'm trying with this list.
I know. I appreciate it.
All right. Number 9.
Okay. The Legends make the list. I got Warrant, Let It Rain from 92.
Ooh, yeah.
Yep. So Janie and Co, they made the cut this time. Just like Winger Without the Night was considered on list number 1.
Yep.
I feel like this is the sleeper ballad of this album, and I really love the sad, deep lyrics. Actually, the video is really odd though because it's basically just Janie and a guitar with some live clips pieced in, like the like Brett when he was just performing solo with the live stuff edited in during the Swallow This studio song. So tell me why?
Yeah.
You know, I think the record company saw the writing on the wall regarding the Doggy Dog album and threw out a low-budget video. But
yes.
I've always just loved this song. This is a great album. But like I said, I think it was winding down, and they knew it.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Janie Bells are great. Doggy Dog is great, and I love how you did. You brought up the Bret Michaels one because I don't remember this video all that much, but I totally remember. Yeah, so tell me why. Yeah. I remember even as a kid when it came out, I was like, okay, we're just filming Bret playing the guitar on his own in an alley. And then we're just these like almost like just stupid live clips that don't even really go with the music or anything. And I was like, yeah, they're really cheesing out on the budget on this one. So yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Dude, this is like a camcorder though. This is like grainy, shitty, awful camcorder. And they're just like, all right, Janie, sit down and play this song and we're going to throw in some live shit. And it's from Dirty, Rotten, Filthy, Stinkin' Rich. It's from the live video from that album they released in Florida.
Oh, that's really
weird. So it's like, 4 years old at that point, and they're just throwing a bunch of live shit. I'm like, dude, you ain't fooling no one, especially someone like you and me.
Right. I hate that. Let's just face it, man. A lot of us, when it comes to this stuff, we're real passionate about it. We got like OCD. Like if it's the Cherry Pie Tour and you're throwing in clips from Dirty, Rotten, Filthy, Stinkin' Rich, no, because we know the outfits were different and the stage was different. No, you can't pull a fast one on us. You know what I mean? It's like we're too smart for that.
Dude, side note, the most insulting example of that is in The Dirt, the Motley Crue book. Mm-hmm. They have a Shout era pick and they talk about it being from the girls era. Oh. And I was like, dude, really?
Fail.
How are you gonna let this fly? You can't do that shit. So hey, they don't get anything by you and me.
No way. And the worst one that happens all the time is with Kiss, because Kiss, it's very distinct, because if you're a Kiss fan, the costumes they wore for Alive, for Destroyer, for Love Gun, for Dynasty. Like, it's a specific look. And it always drives you crazy when they'll say like Kiss from 1977 and they'll show them in the 1979 costumes. You're like, no, loser, you're wrong. So
that stuff drives me nuts. That's a true fan.
That drives me nuts. Okay, number 9. I gotta give it to my boys, Brittany Fox, and going with Long Road. Long Road's a pretty cool song. It's the last song on Boys in Heat. This is like Brittany's cowboy touring song, like a Wanted Dead or Alive type of a song, where they're talking about the road and all these different faces that you see out on the road, and it's very catchy, very cool. It sounds like it's indicative of the 80s touring cycle. It's got great harmonies, and it's mostly sung in his real voice. So it's sung in his real voice,
right?
But he integrates the scream randomly, throughout the song, just like maybe before the solo and just maybe after the solo, the high scream voice comes in. So I always love this song. It's really cool, and Long Road, it's great.
I have some Britney coming up. It's not that, but it's kind of similar.
Sweet. Okay, number 8.
All right, number 8. I got another repeat band. And it's Steelheart, and the song is called All Your Love. And they make their return on list number 2. This is from the Tom Werman, apparently has zero recollection of producing album, Tangled in Reins. It's a great song. The second half of this verse just absolutely kills. He lets it rip. I'm sorry, the second half of each verse, so verse 1, verse 2, he lets it rip, and it's like him singing in full voice in ballad form, and it works really well. He brings that back down for the bridge, and then in terms of it fitting an album, it's much more of a fit for this kind of harder, more raw album in 92 than their 1990 debut. But it's a really cool follow-up to the Mighty self-titled debut. So I had to incorporate it. It was a late addition, and I couldn't believe that I forgot about it because it's one of my favorites. So nice. I had to throw it in there in the middle of the pack.
Cool. I know you're a Steelheart guy, so good.
Nice.
All right, number 8. I was torn on a couple different songs by these guys, but ultimately, I think I made the right call. Don't be cruel, can't you see? If you don't catch me now, and it's Scorpions, and I'm going with Believe in Love.
And I think this is another great ballad that ends an album, you know, in 1988 with Animal Magnetism. Man, I'm screwing up tonight. What's this one? Oh, Savage Amusement.
Savage Amusement.
Well, their titles, a lot of their titles are the same kind of a gist, you know. But anyways, yeah. Believe in Love, man. And you and I talked about this before. It might have been like just through text. And I don't remember if you brought it to my attention or if I brought it to your attention. But the verses of this were kicking around like in the 70s. But yes. they didn't complete it. Did I bring it to your attention or did you bring it to mine?
It was the Scorpions episode we did.
Oh, did we talk about it?
I think in doing research, I can't remember if it, you told me it. or I discovered it, but I was shocked, dude. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, because it sounds like an 80s song. But I think when you listen to the verses have that kind of typical, like almost like mystical, you know, laid back Scorpions verse. You know what I mean? So it's very much, you know, the verses are, they kind of remind you of Still Loving You. But when it picks up, man, it really gets going. And it's got a really powerful pre-chorus. And I just love it. You know, it really picks up. And then the chorus, I just feel like you could have the whole audience doing the sway with their arms up in the air. You know what I mean? Like this, yeah. This song could like heal the world or something if we'd let it. You know what I mean? So it's but the cool part, the part I was trying to remember, the pre-chorus was like, "You don't catch me now, guess yes. I'm falling down." You know, it's just so powerful. And then that chorus that just, you know, everybody, it's like kumbaya almost, that Believe in Love chorus. So yeah, great song.
Dude, awesome point on the pre-chorus being strong, because I found that in list number one, a lot of those I had to refer to was the bridge pre-chorus was really strong, and it almost was like it came down for the actual chorus line, and this is the perfect example of that. And I totally forgot about this song, or else I probably would have thrown it on there.
Yeah. Oh, you know, so the other one I was torn with was Walking on the Edge. I love that too.
Oh yeah.
And that's,
yeah, good one.
I just felt like this overall was the total package. That song's very cool, but I thought this song just beat it out. So
yeah, and like you were saying, listening to those demo vocals versions of this song from the 70s was so cool to hear that the song was basically written and they updated it for this for this 88 album. And I'm so glad they did.
Definitely. All right, man. What you got for seven?
Okay, seven. I got. We're entering the hard ballad section for me, so I got a few in a row here, but... I got Pretty Maids, No It Ain't Easy from 1992. And this is just such a ripping chorus. They step it up to high gear vocally, and it's just such a really... It's such a cool acoustic electric intro. And about midway... they really kick it into gear in the verses, and I just gotta throw a shout out to Ronnie's voice. The guy is so killer. The way he's got that range. It's like a harem scarum thing where he can go super low and super high, super gritty. Doesn't matter. He's got it all. What a consistent band. I love Pretty Maids, and you can just crank their whole catalog and never be let down. So that's number seven, kicking off my hard ballad section.
Nice. I love Pretty Maids. I was going to put a Pretty Maids one on. I think it would have ended up in my honorables. Yeah, the Savage Heart, you know, it's got that huge chorus. So they've got some really good power ballads, but I just didn't make the cut, but I definitely like what they've got going on.
You had them on list one, right? You had...
oh, I did!
What's the song?
The one, the cover.
Donna or something?
No, that was on the cover episode. Cover.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I love that. Yep, and that's on. That must be on the same... That's on the same album you're talking about.
Yep, your same song. Decade.
Yep, okay. All right, number seven. I'll probably put the music in right here. I gotta go with another mid-tempo.
Hold on. There you go. I was gonna say, let me guess it.
Okay. All right, Europe. I'll Cry for You, and I knew I had to put something from Prisoners in Paradise because I love Prisoners in Paradise. And I mean, you know, honestly, I think I almost put some Europe on before. I mean, I was tossing around Carrie and all different ones that they've had, man. Open Your Heart, that's kind of fits the mold. But I went with this one. You know, it's great mid-tempo. You got Key Marcello playing those super sweet melodies that follow what the vocals are doing. Huge chorus. And Joey just sounds great, man. So I got to give it up for I'll Cry For You.
Awesome. Very awesome. I'll throw out right away now in my honorables, I had Prisoners in Paradise as a song.
Yeah.
And it's definitely my favorite Europe album. And I thought about Open Your Heart. I don't love Carrie, so I didn't even talk about it. But awesome choice.
Sweet. All right, number six.
Okay, here's where I got Britney. I got Britney Fox, Over and Out from 1991.
Ooh,
yeah. Yeah, dude. So this is my number one Britney album. I love Tommy Parrish's vocals. And just hands down, I think he's far superior to Dizzy, even though I love those first two albums.
Mm-hmm.
I might get crucified for that one, but whatever.
I'm going to hang up on you now. No,
seriously, dude. Dude, he's playing, by the way, September 22nd at the Whiskey, and I think he's playing all of Bite Down Hard.
Ooh.
And it's like 8 hours from me, but huh. I don't know. I got two kids. I can't be making that trek these days.
No. Well, watch it on YouTube.
But anyway, yeah, YouTube is right. So his voice is just so pissed and raspy, and got that range forever, and it's just a perfect fit for this band. This is just an acoustic electric combo, and it sounds like a tribute to a lost family member, probably. So it's in ballad form again, but it's not sappy. That live version is perfect. I don't, like I said, maybe there was some studio magic, but damn, it's just perfect. He's almost full voice during this whole ballad, which makes it pretty cool. And if anybody out there hasn't heard his real name, Don Gilson, which I remember you and I talked about, Gilson, which he is putting out on his website these days, and a big package for this September 22nd show at the Whiskey. You can buy the Gilson album, but there's two ballads on that one too called Goodbye and then Mean What You Say. So those are my 5.1s, and those are equally killer. But for this, I got Britney, Over and Out.
Nice. But we're on six, right?
I meant 6.1. Okay. I can count.
You know, I really like this song, and I really like Look My Way. I think I like Look My Way better. But the crazy thing about Look My Way, and now ever since this has happened, it's like spoiled. Because I remember, like, I don't know, I think it was somebody online said, oh, that song sounds like Forever. And I was like, what? And then one time I was listening to it, like I was like making breakfast or something, and I had it on, and somebody in my house said, oh, that song sounds like Forever. So now, like, I feel like every time I hear Look My Way, I hear Forever. So I don't know. I don't know if they just poisoned my mind or if it really does sound like Forever. I just don't know.
I think it does.
Yeah, it probably does. It came out after the... Yeah, it probably does. Okay. Number six. I got some Warrant. I got some Doggy Dog, but I'm going with Bitter Pill. And
nice,
Bitter Pill, man, is super cool. It's, you know, like you said, it's got these songs are kind of deep, and this song's kind of haunting, and it's almost like there's like piano and synth mix. Like it's definitely interesting. And I love how he talks and he answers himself in the verses. Really cool.
Yep.
And then, of course, great chorus. You know, it's typical Janie type stuff. But man, you get toward the end of the song, and there's some weird shit going on. They bust into some like monk choir stuff that almost is reminiscent of Sabotage. And then right after they do that, they do like the dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum, and it sounds just like Queensryche. So like, I don't know if they were like dabbling in some other shit, getting in, you know, some other styles, and they were trying to mix them in. But that song's freaking epic, man. I love it.
Oh yeah, it is definitely leaps and bounds ahead of the debut in terms of their genius at the time. So. I did, like I said, this album is probably my Warrant number one, so I know it very well.
Yeah. All right. Number five.
Number five, I got Icon, Forever Young from 1989. Yeah, so the legend surrounding this band is pretty cool. It very highly praised first two albums, and I'm sure I'll catch some shit for discussing Right Between the Eyes as opposed to the first two, but whatever. This is a classic in the hard ballad realm. It's got that really catchy, speeds up type of mid-verse speed-up thing they got going on. really cool rasp in his voice, and the backup vocals are really high and awesome. It's a sweet album all around. It's definitely my favorite Icon album. But I don't know, man. This is just the perfect hard ballad epitome of that. Got the really raspy thing going on. And if you want to check out this album, one of my favorite songs of all time, and like if you said, all right, give me the recipe for what an 80s hard rock song should sound like, there's a song called Running Under Fire. It's the last song on the album, and it's just like the perfect 80s hard rock album or song. So side note, check that out. But in terms of hard ballads, this is fitting the recipe very well.
I remember Icon, but I don't remember this song. I think one of my buddies had this album. What was the video? There was a video for this album.
Yeah, it's Two for the Road. There's that one.
I just picture the album where like there's a girl with sunglasses holding a bullet, right? Is that the one?
That's right. Okay. Yeah, it's like an animated. It's like a cartoon. Yeah.
Okay. But
the album, dude, I'm telling you, it's sweet. Two for the Road and Taking My Breath Away are the two singles, if you will. Definitely check this one out. There's a live recording of these guys playing in, like, Arizona. And, dude, it is so terrible. Like, the singer just completely lost his voice. And, like, there's apologies from the YouTube author. It's so sad. But don't let that stray you, because it's a killer album and a killer band.
Nice.
Different singer from the first two albums.
Okay. Number five. It's hard to do when I need you near. It seems like forever. I gotta go Winger. I'm bringing Winger back too on this list, and I'm going with Without the Night. It's
ooh,
great.
I think we
almost mentioned it, you know, but it wasn't on anyone's list, right? The last time, or no?
Exactly. Yes. No, it was not. I wanted it to be, but it wasn't.
Yes. You know, I don't have a lot to say about it. It's pretty straightforward. I like it better than Headed for a Heartbreak. I think it's got great melodies. You know, vocals are high quality. It's just good Winger, man. Like I said, they don't screw up with the ballads. And, you know, and it's a moody thing. You know, it feels like, you know, he got his heart broken, and, you know, he's okay during the day, but when it's time to go to sleep, you know, he's thinking about the lady that did him wrong or whatever. So it's just a great song. It's just a well-written tune. So,
yes, great song. I was kicking that one around big time, so glad you put it on there.
All right, number four.
Okay, going with Billy Idol, Prodigal Blues from 1990 from Charmed Life.
That is a weird
one. Dude, it is weird. Dude, again, it's not sappy, it's not lovey, it's about, I believe it's about his father, but it's such a cool groove, this song. It might have even like crept into my number one had there not been so many giants above it, but dude, it's just such a cool album. Great memories of this album coming out. Really good instrumentation. Billy's vocals are just peaking on this album. He goes real deep and real high for Billy. Really good kick in. Yeah, I know. For Billy, I love high. Some kick in pre-chorus, but it settles right back in after each one. So, like zero part of the song drags on or gets boring. It just never gets old. So, it's probably number three or four on the album, Prodigal Blues. Definitely check it out if you skipped over this one on Charmed Life.
Yeah, I don't remember this one, so I'm going to have to check it out. number four, I've got kind of a little bit of a weird one. It's not a weird one for me, but that's not one that most people are super familiar with. Every time I see you with your arms around another, every time I walk your breath again. Okay, number four, I got Paul Stanley. Every Time I See You Around from 2006. I think when we talked about this era, I talked about this song. And it's definitely a power ballad. In the time where the power ballad was kind of like a lost art, you know what I mean? It was kind of over. But, you know, Paulie's got a winner here, man. There's part of it that's kind of foreverish. Speaking of songs that kind of remind me of forever, this one I think does. It's super catchy. I always wish like somebody who was popular at the time would have redone it, because I think they could have had a hit. Like if it came out as Paul Stanley, it's dead, you know? But if it comes out as like,
I don't know, Justin Bieber or something. I don't know. Just somebody that was more, you know, contemporary. And the biggest thing, you know, there's a huge chorus, very catchy chorus, and this is probably the last time we hear Paul's voice in top form. And I don't even know if his voice really is in 100% top form on this album, because I feel like on some of the heavier songs, I'm starting to hear a slight strain, but on this song, you don't hear it at all. It sounds really good, and I think right after this, it's like something happened. Nobody really knows if he pulled something. He had vocal surgery and didn't fix it, and by the time you get to Sonic Boom, something really isn't right. You know what I mean? It just does. It's a lot of strain and a lot of weirdness going on. But I think this is probably the last time that his voice is very pleasant sounding on a recording. You know what I mean? And I know metal isn't supposed to be pleasant, but I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. Like, you hear the strain and the trying to hide the strain on the next couple Kiss albums. But yeah, great song. If you don't know this song, go back, because you'll be like, yeah, this either would have been a huge hit in like the 80s, or somebody like a modern star could have produced it a little bit more contemporary style and had a huge hit. So
yeah, dude, I'll have to check that out, because I remember you said that this was the last album that he kind of let it rip on him. And so yeah, I'll revisit this one for sure.
Sweet. Man, number three, we're down. We're getting down there.
Top three, I got. Your boy, Joel Ellis. I got Heavy Bones. Heavy Bones, Turn It On from 92. You can knock the dude, but you can't knock his vocals, dude. Uh-oh. Like, he's got those raspy, perfect vocals. Between Cats and Boots and this CD, Heavy Bones, I really preach his discography. And this song in particular has always stood out on the record. Again, it's got that catchy pre-chorus into a massive chorus. Cool piano guitar mix that's not annoying at all. It works really well. And it's probably my favorite song on the album. It's got mood to it. It soars. It's not sappy. It's got this kick in that's undeniable. So check out Turn It On from 92.
I love that song. And if you want to hear the uniqueness of his voice, listen to the way he sings the verses. Really cool, really unique, catchy song. Yep, I love it.
I'm glad you like it.
All right, number three. This is where I put Whitesnake off of Slip of the Tongue. I'm going with Now You're Gone, man. I think this is ballady. It's not like super. It's a mid-tempo. I call this a mid-tempo. And, you know, you got that sweet intro by Steve Vai doing the vocal melody kind of in the beginning. And David, man, he's in top form on Slip of the Tongue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The verses are great. You got the big payoff chorus. What's good? Bluesy licks in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just all good, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I love how, like, when they you know, it's kind of like that answering stuff, like we talked about with Warren. You know, like, this heart of mine. You know what I mean? Like, they're you know, like backing him up, and there's so many awesome melodies all throughout this, just in all parts of it. There's little parts that just sound so catchy in the verse, in the chorus, in the pre-chorus. You know, you're all that I want. You know what I mean? It's just so good. And the solo is amazing too. I love the solo. It's just so good. I think this is up there with one of my favorite Whitesnake songs. I love this song. It's just so good. So love it.
Yeah, dude. The mood and the feel of this song is perfect. Great era for Whitesnake. Love this song. Glad you put it on there.
Yeah. Okay. Number two.
Number two. Go with one of my big guys from '92, and that is. Saints and Sinners, and the song is called We Belong from 1992, and it rounds out my hard ballads list here. I had five of those guys, but they were almost the kings of 92 if Hardline wouldn't have topped them. But what an epic CD this is. But this song is a standout on the album for me. It's really great plugged-in acoustic mellow intro and kicked-up mid-verse, huge chorus. The post solo mellow is really cool, and then it kicks into like the biggest chorus there is on the album or on the song. So it's just a perfect hard ballad from a perfect CD. And if you guys don't know Saints and Sinners, I've talked about them a few times. Worth it, big time. It's where music should have been in 92 with Wildside, Hardline, Saints and Sinners, etc. So, great CD. Check it out.
Nice. I don't know this song. You know, I couldn't hum it to you right now, but I know I've listened to Saints and Sinners based on your recommendation, so I will have to go back and check this bad boy
awesome.
Out. Number two, I know you're not a huge fan of this album, but I'm going to try to explain myself why I like this song so much. I got Poison. Until You Suffer Some, Fire and Ice, man.
Yeah.
I love this tune. You know, and it's weird because I think, like, the verses, they don't do a ton for me. So, I'm thinking to myself, so why do I got it at number two? But wait. So the verses are cool. You know, they're bluesy, and I think there's some really nice bluesy licks on the guitar and cool melody, harmony voices from Richie Kotzen. So I like that. But it's something about, like, if this is the pre-chorus, or maybe it's just the chorus, but it's like, hold on now, baby. Like, when they get to that part. And I keep saying contemporary, but I do feel like if you listen to what the chord progression and what the guitar is doing, it almost reminds me of the way It's Over Now is by LA Guns. Like, it sounds like something from the 90s here. It doesn't sound like an 80s band anymore. And it's just, I don't know, it's just really catchy, kind of modern sounding, kind of cool, got a great vibe. I just really like it, man. There's something about it. When that part kicks in, it's like, oh, this is one of the coolest things I've ever heard. Like, I don't know why I like it so much. So that's why I put it at two. And I dig the vibe. And I just think Brett, at least back in the day, and I said it in the last, I think in the last list, I had two Poison songs. Brett was like the master, man. He was like a ballad master. He's a great songwriter. I just wish I could get, like, a little bit more of that from him today. I don't know if he does songs, or the songs that he does just don't register with me. I don't know what's going on. There's a disconnect between me and Brett right now. But like, when I go back and listen to all that, like, his big songs, you know, I mean, all of his songs, he's got a lot of great songs, but his big songs, like, man, he was such a good writer. Like, I wish he could do some more of that, you know? So.
Well, I mean, he was probably hitting his stride that year, you know? Like, he was a young man still. Yeah. It just, the game changed around him, and he was really firing on all cylinders, and he was stepped up to be the leader of the band, like he always has, but like, he really stepped up at that point.
Yeah.
So I'm sure, like, the genre changed around him to make it so you didn't get all you wanted from Brett. But yeah, it would be cool because he's still a relatively young man, and he could still power him out like that. So really cool song. I like your choice.
And I thought the album after this was good too. The
Crack a Smile's
got some cool songs. Lay Your Body Down was a ballad.
Oh yeah,
there's some cool shit on there. That's a weird one. I mean, that we could have a whole episode dissecting that one. You know what I mean? Like, it's
yeah,
such
totally.
A hybrid album. Like, it's fun, but it's 90s. You know, it's almost like comical at times, but it's Poison. You know, I don't know. It's a real super weird album, and it may be one of those albums like in 30 years from now, someone's going to listen to it and say, this was a masterpiece. You know, he was so ahead of his time, you know what I mean? But, you know, it never got a proper release or any of that kind of stuff. So we'll never know if it could have been anything, but there's some weird shit on that one. That's a good one.
Totally. I agree. I love that album.
All right. This is it, man. Hit me with something good. Number one.
Well, what do you think I'm going to have as number one?
With this list is so diverse, it could be anyone. It could be anybody. I'm not even going to take a guess.
All right. Well, I got my Giants on there. I got Def Leppard, Hysteria, 1987.
Should have known.
Dude, I only put it on there because you gave me the go-ahead that the song Hysteria is considered a ballad. Okay?
I should have said it wasn't. No, that's not a ballad. You can't use it. No.
Well, I can come up with something else. But I think this is the first time I've considered it a ballad, but it's also a true mid-tempo, kind of in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to put it at the top of the list because this is a weird list. But, I mean, dude, I wrote zero notes on this one because I'm so schooled up on it. And like I said before, I don't even need to bore the people with the lore surrounding this album. This song is the most catchy, most three-part guitar, three-part harmony song on the album, and it never gets old. It's easy to sing. It's fun to sing, and it goes over really well live to this day, and it's just a monster album in my mind. I know it's a monster album in the sales records world as well, but I can't deny it, and even though AC/DC is always going to be my favorite, Def Leppard Hysteria might creep into my number one album of all time, so I'm just going to throw it out there as my number one hard ballad mid-tempo, being the song Hysteria from 87.
Okay, all right, man. Well, if I did Now You're Gone, you definitely can do Hysteria. And
perfect.
And, you know, I can't knock it. I'm not a huge Def Leppard guy, but I can't knock that song. It's a great song. But, you know, I want to just mention it, and I'm not a big Def Leppard guy, but I really think they had some great ballads on Adrenalize.
They did. I know. I wanted to.
I'm surprised you didn't do one of those. It was Two Steps Behind and Have You Ever Needed Someone So Bad. Those are pretty good ballads, man. So,
dude, Two Steps Behind was right there, almost nudging Hysteria, but I couldn't nudge the giant.
Yeah. Well, my number one shouldn't really surprise anybody because these guys always are high on lists.
So frail the heart, but if I was blessed with just one wish to take me through.
And at number one, I'm going to give to Lillian Axe. The Day That I Met You off of Psycho Schizophrenia. If you don't know this song, if you don't know this song, just go listen to it. You know, get a box of tissues because depending on like what's going on in your life, you might cry. You know what I mean? But it's so good. You got Steve Blaze's, I believe he would, yeah, he wrote all the lyrics, I think, on this album. So you got Steve Blaze's lyrics. You got some really nice soft guitar, you know, behind Ron Taylor. And Ron Taylor's voice is just, there's nowhere to hide. So, like, if you're not a good singer and you're just singing to a guitar, you know, you can't morph it in with sound effects or effects or other voices. Like, Ron Taylor's just got an amazing voice. This song is so good. And it's just, you feel something. You know, and it reminds me of, like, I've always said that, like, there's certain songs by, like, John Lennon. You know what I mean? Like, everybody wants to write one of those songs that makes people feel something. And this song always has made me feel something. It's like the day, he wants to go back to the day that he met you. So you could put this, like, what did the relationship fall apart and he just wants to rewind to the good days? Did the person pass away? He wants to rewind back to the first day that he met them. That was a happy day. You know what I mean? So it's really deep. That's a really deep album all the way around if you listen to Psycho Schizophrenia. But man, this song is something great. And I want to give my buddy Ron Taylor a plug. He has a new song out with his band Lowside. And the new song by Lowside is called This Old Life. And Ron Taylor, man, still has it. He still sounds the way that he did. The music has changed. It's a little bit more modernized, but it's still rock. You're going to love it. Go check out Lowside, This Old Life. But before you do, listen to The Day That I Met You by Lillian Axe. So that's what I got.
Damn. I got to go back.
I love that song. It's just so good. And you know what? If you listen to this song, a lot of people say that Green Day ripped this song off. I think it's their song called September. They have a song called September. Uh-huh. It's like a ballad song.
So.
Yeah. It could have just been on accident. Like, they never heard it before and they just created something like it. You know what I mean? I don't know if Green Day's Lillian Axe fans. They should be, but they probably aren't.
They should be.
Yeah. So, there's a correlation between those two songs. But yeah, man. So, all right, what do you got? I know you got about 800 honorable mentions. You give me at least two or three of them.
Well, how about I fire through them? I promise I won't get crazy into them. But first of all, awesome Lillian choice. I got to go back and listen to it. You're such a dedicated fan. That's killer.
Yeah.
Love Ron Taylor, and I'll also check out Lowside.
That's good.
Okay, honorables. I can't believe neither one of us put L.A. Guns, Ballad of Jane.
I know. Look, man. I don't. Some of them, I love them, but like they're just. I think I'm just worn out with them. You know what I mean? And same thing with Cinderella. I was like, how did I not put "Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone" or "Heartbreaks"? I do like those songs. I don't know if they're just. I'm just played out with them. I think.
I know. I get it. And also, without talking about the honorables, how did neither one of us put "Rat One Step Away" or "Giving Yourself Away"? Because I know those are very borderline, but I mean, we're both rat guys.
I know.
This was kind of like the misfit toys list where we could put whatever we wanted. But anyway,
it's a dirty
shame. There's that. So I got a...
It's a shame. Ryan, it's a shame.
It is a shame. Damn. Okay, so I got Tiger Tails Heaven. Mm. Have you ever heard of a band called Bad Boys? Was Paul Shortino's band after Quiet Riot?
No, never heard of Bad Boys, no. Very original. Really cool. That's a very original band name, though. I got to give them that.
Yeah, well, they have two D's in Bad and a Z in Boys. Okay, so it's very original.
That is
don't
very,
mess with that.
That makes it better.
There you go. Firehouse, Love of a Lifetime. Mm. Vixen, Love is a Killer. Mm. Giant, See in My Dreams. Scorpions, Send Me an Angel.
Yeah.
Great one. Slaughter, Fly to the Angels. Vinnie Vincent, Love Kills.
Yeah.
You ever heard of Fierce Heart?
No.
Okay, song called Dust Caught in My Eye, very funny. Sweet F.A. Ooh. Motley, You're All I Need.
Yep.
Bon Jovi, Bed of Roses. Prisoners in Paradise, Europe, and White Lion. Children Cry. That's all. Yes. I got. I sped through them for you.
Well, here's why I don't have a lot of honorable mentions, because this list was like a million songs. So, like, I cut out the original list out of this list. Then I had to make the new list, and then to like cut out the noise that was on this in notes in my phone. I got rid of the honorables, so I don't even know what they were. There were some, but one when I was creating my list that I almost put on because it was fitting the bill, like a song like it's like Anytime, but it's Deep Purple with Jolynn Turner was in it and King of Dreams. That's a pretty good song, but the only reason I was kind of like. A, I was going to throw off my list that I had worked so hard on. I wasn't going to change it. And then B, it was like for that album, it was like up to par with the rest of the songs, like because that's not a real heavy album. You know what I mean? So it didn't stand out as being ballady, but it fits the bill. If you don't know that song, it's a really cool song. But you know what? A couple songs I was toying with when I made the master list was. I think the ballads on New Tattoo are kind of cool. I like New Tattoo.
They are.
And I like Hollywood Ending. They didn't make any lists, but I'll give them as an honorable mention. I do like those.
Agreed. I almost put one of those two. And I really, really like those two. So
yeah,
they didn't make it. I did throw in You're All I Need because you and I have discussed that one before. Good overlooked ballad on that one. Cool censored video on MTV as well.
Yeah. And I think I told you if it was fair game for any genre or any era rather, I think I would have had about five or six Alice Cooper songs because I love the Alice Cooper ballads of the 70s. So I think if
that's like, right.
When I first started doing it, I had some Angel, I had some Alice Cooper, and then when I said okay, no 70s, it made my life a lot easier. So
I am also shocked that you didn't have the Roses or some Bon Jovi stuff because that's like one of the catchier songs of all time, especially from his catalog.
Yeah, that's another one. I think though, Jovi, his bat, you know, it goes into that category of being played out. You know what I mean? When you think of
Out
of Dead or Alive, or I cannot remember anything tonight. What's that? Never Say Goodbye. I can't remember because it didn't have a video. But anyways,
exactly.
Just some of that Jovi stuff's just so played out. So I know they're good ballads, but they're just played.
Yeah.
All right, man, we had a good list. Another good one.
Really good. Yeah, that was awesome.
I might like this one better just because of the quirkiness of it.
Perfect. Well, thanks, man. Good talking to you.
Yeah, man. Have a good one.
Okay, you too.
Yep, bye.
Hope you enjoyed this one. Lots more to come. Rock on!